no sense.
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show, back this Tuesday with another 60 minutes of radio drama. We'll begin this week with The Whisperer and Policeman in Danger, their episode from July 29th, 1951. After that, it's Frontier Gentlemen and Justice of the Peace, their story from July 13th, 1958.
Presenting The Whisperer, starring Carlton Young. The Whisperer, a brilliant man who, losing his voice in an accident which crushed his vocal cords, worked his way deep within the crime syndicate to help destroy it from within. To the underworld, his familiar rattling hiss is the voice of authority, to be obeyed without question. Then a miracle of surgery performed by Dr. Benjamin Lee restored his natural voice, enabling him to resume his real identity. Now, as Philip Gault, aggressive young attorney, he skirts the thin edge of death, living his dual role. For as the Whisperer, he sets in motion the forces of the syndicate in Central City. Then, as Philip Gault, uses his knowledge to fight the organized network of crime which seeks to control the fate of millions in cities and towns across the nation. Now, in the apartment of Ellen Norris, the only one besides Dr. Lee, her employer, who knows that the Whisperer is really Philip Gault, brilliant young Central City attorney, we find Philip speaking in the voice of the Whisperer to his superiors on the syndicate in New York.
Hello, New York. Instructions for liquidation of Lieutenant Charles Denvers, given to Neely, will report progress.
Not Lieutenant Denvers.
That's right, Ellen. Denvers has been a thorn in the syndicate side for a long time here in Central City.
Thanks to the information you've managed to get to Denver. Oh, he's such a nice guy, Phil. Couldn't you have ignored the syndicate and forgotten to pass on their instructions to the killer just this once?
Too much of a chance, Ellen. Playing both ends against the middle the way I am with the syndicate all the time, I'm lucky they haven't got suspicious of me already.
Even if they only suspected you weren't completely on their side. Phil, why don't you just call Denvers and warn him? Tell him to be on his guard, that the syndicate is...
And then, when he asked me how I happened to know...
Oh, I didn't think of that. But you're not going to just sit by and allow him to be murdered, Phil.
May I use your phone again, darling?
If it's for the syndicate, no.
If it's against the syndicate?
In that case, dial away.
Thank you.
Could I, without being nosy, ask who you're calling?
Lieutenant Denvers.
But you said...
I said I couldn't warn him, but I've got to do something. I can ask him to... Shh, hold it.
Denvers speaking, homicide.
Good evening, Lieutenant. This is Phil Gault. How are you?
Suspicious. What's on your mind?
Dinner, Lieutenant. I'd like to invite you and your charming wife out for dinner this evening.
On you?
On me.
Did I hear right?
Of course. Can't I ask you to dinner without raising your suspicions, Lieutenant?
No.
You're antisocial, Lieutenant.
Not an invitation out of the blue like this. Not after years of getting in my hair on cases and spending your time fighting my evidence in court.
Well, that's something else again. That's business. As a man, as a friend, I like you, Lieutenant. There isn't an ulterior motive within miles of me right now. I just want to...
Ah.
Honest, Lieutenant. How about it?
Well, even if I believed you, Gault, I couldn't. The wife and I are eating out tonight, all right. We're taking some friends to dinner.
Ah, oh, too bad.
Well, maybe I'll take a rain check.
Okay. Goodbye, Lieutenant.
He won't come?
Can't, he has a date.
What was the idea of inviting him, anyway?
Well, I figured as long as I was with him, I could keep an eye peeled for this Neely, the syndicate's hired killer I just spoke to. I guess now that's no good. Now, hey, wait a minute. I know what I'll do.
Uh-oh. Five will get you ten. It's going to end up by having us miss dinner altogether.
Quite the contrary. I'm going to do just what the killer's going to do.
Kill Denver?
All the killer knows is that Denver's will be coming out of headquarters around 6 o'clock.
About 20 minutes from now.
You'll probably be parked near headquarters waiting for Denver's. But I don't think you'll risk shooting him there. He'll follow and wait for a better opportunity.
I don't suppose, as usual, you know what this Neely, this killer, really looks like.
No, I don't, Ellen. He's another one of these syndicate men imported to do their dirty work, and chances are he's now working alone. But with luck, we ought to be able to spot him before he gets a chance to shoot Denver.
We hope.
We hope. Come on, put your face on so we can get going. I want to be parked near police headquarters when Denver's comes out.
As I said about dinner.
Now, don't be silly. A little delay will just sharpen your appetite. Notice anything new and different?
In the car here? It's got to be a new gadget of some kind.
Uh-uh.
No? I see you've still got the wire recorder installed behind the dash. You didn't take it out as you threatened.
Well, I decided it might come in handy sometime again. Keep looking.
I don't... What's that? Connected to the steering pole near the dash. Well, that can't be a telephone, can it?
You win the gold-plated shoehorn. Care to try for the Cadillac?
A telephone in a car? What good is it?
Oddly enough, for making telephone calls.
Well, that's impossible. I never...
There's old hat, Ellen. You're way behind in your popular mechanics.
I guess I am.
Done by radio.
Well, why go to all the trouble to develop such a thing? Can't people drive to the nearest phone booth or something if they have to make a call?
It's not only for making calls, Ellen. Doctors driving their rounds could be contacted in an emergency. Companies with fleets of cars or trucks can contact them on the road during the day or night.
I see. And also as a toy for gadget-happy characters like you.
Oh, that's unkind. I'll bet I get a lot of use out of it.
Mm-hmm. Like calling the telephone company to check the time of day.
Very funny. You just wait until... Uh-oh, there's the police headquarters down the block. Several cars parked across the street from it. We better stop here.
There's a man sitting in one of them.
Just one? Usually they work in pairs. I only know about Neely, but then the syndicate doesn't tell anybody everything, not even me.
What do we do now? Go up and ask him if he's waiting to shoot Lieutenant Denver?
If we're anxious for a bullet ourselves. Otherwise, we wait and see what happens. Look, there's Denver's car parked right in the front of headquarters.
I wonder what restaurant the lieutenant's going to.
I just hope he gets there in one piece. How can you think of food when a man's life is in danger?
Oh, it isn't me. I'm very altruistic. Always thinking of the other fellow. But my stomach has a mind of its own.
Look, here comes Denver's now, out of headquarters.
Suppose you're wrong, Phil. Suppose maybe he shoots now, from his car.
It's a gamble. I gotta hope he doesn't.
He's almost to his car now. The man in the other car hasn't moved.
That fellow isn't Neely. Maybe Neely's hidden somewhere else, just waiting to shoot.
There. Denver's in his car. Nothing's happened.
Yet.
He's driving off. Whew, that was a bad moment.
It isn't over. There goes the other car, making a U-turn and following Denver's car.
Isn't that illegal? In the middle of the block?
No, that's a woman for you, worrying about irrelevancies at a time like this. The important thing is that the car following Denver's is almost certainly being driven by Neely with a gun cocked and ready.
What do we do now?
Follow both of them. It isn't a cinch trying to head off a syndicate man intent on killing.
I've lost Lieutenant Denver's car, Phil.
Probably a couple of blocks ahead of us now. I'm having no trouble keeping the green sedan Neely's driving in sight.
I didn't get a very good look at Neely back there, did you?
No. He had that hat pulled down. Hey, he's turning off.
Going into that parking lot of the Chateau Frank.
Denver's must be meeting his wife and guests in there.
A restaurant. And famous for their sauerbraten and potato pancakes. Yum. Did we get to follow them in?
I think it can be arranged.
Oh, this isn't going to be such a bad evening after all. Here comes the head waiter, Phil. I hope he has a table. Hello, I'm famished.
Healthiest appetite in Central City.
Two, sir?
Oh, yes, please.
Right this way.
Oh, would you mind? I'd rather sit on the other side.
Hmm? Oh, of course, if you prefer, monsieur.
What difference where we sit, Phil?
He was taking us to a table 6 feet from Denver's party.
For what? Aren't we allowed to eat dinner here?
After my inviting him out tonight? Policemen have suspicious minds about coincidences.
How is this table, sir?
Perfect. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, sir. Would you care to order now, sir?
I would. I'll have the sauerbraten.
Yes, miss. You, sir?
Sauerbraten will be all right for me, too.
Fine, fine. Drink first.
Ellen?
If I sharpen my appetite any more, I'll eat the tablecloth.
Nothing for me, either.
Yes, sir.
Pardon me a second, Alan.
Don't tell me. A telephone call.
Uh-huh.
As the Whisperer, no doubt.
Not so loud. Be right back.
Central City reporting. Neely on job. Trail Denver's to restaurant. Awaiting opportunity to complete assignment. We'll report again later.
Back already?
My other life doesn't take up much of my time.
See anyone that looks like he might be Neely?
Oh, that dark man. No, I don't think so.
He must have come in here. We saw his car drive into the parking lot.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Head waiter's been speaking to Danvers. Danvers headed this way.
What for? I don't get it.
I don't think he has anything to do with us. I don't think he's even seen us yet.
Maybe if we put the menus up in front of our faces.
No good, Alan. He spotted us.
Well, Philip Gore. You're sure a persistent guy, aren't you? Hello, Miss Norris.
Hi, Lieutenant.
Danvers. Quite a coincidence, huh? Well, what do you mean, persistent?
Well, if you invite a fellow out to dinner and he refuses, you just follow him and force him to eat in the same restaurant with you.
Suspicious nature is an occupational disease with the police.
Yeah? Well, then why did you steer the head waiter away from our side of the restaurant and have him seat you over here?
Oh. You saw that, did you?
Uh-huh.
Well, I didn't want to crowd you, Lieutenant. Didn't want you to think that I was following you.
Why, are you?
Of course not. But now that you're here, why don't you sit down and have a...
No, I can't right now. There's a phone call waiting for me.
Well, maybe later then, huh?
Well,
he is a suspicious policeman.
Phone call for him, huh? You know, Ellen, maybe he's not suspicious enough.
Where are you going?
Make sure that's a genuine phone call. You haven't forgotten one of the syndicate's killers is waiting for a chance to get his sights on the lieutenant, have you?
No, but why leave me here?
Now, your food will be along in a minute. You just sit tight.
Oh, no. You're liable to disappear, and I can't eat two orders of sauerbraten.
Oh, no? Come along, then. It's probably nothing to worry about anyway. Phone booths are over this way, on the way out to the parking lot.
Nobody around, Phil. Both phone booths are empty.
What I was afraid of.
Phil, wait.
There goes Denver's car. Come on.
Come on, where?
To our car.
Oh, so we can follow him and make sure he's not walking into a trap?
He's not walking into a trap. He's already in it.
Oh.
There was a man sitting next to Denver's, a man with his hat pulled low over his eyes.
You think he had Denver called out by the head waiter on a fake telephone call and was waiting for him at the telephone booth?
I'm sure of it, Ellen. As the car went by me, I got a quick look inside. Neely had a gun, and if I know anything about a syndicate trigger man, Neely knows how to use it.
Where's Denver's car?
I don't know. Now, keep your eyes peeled. I don't even know what we can do if we do spot it. But I do know Lieutenant Danvers will be dead in a matter of minutes if we don't.
You are listening to The Whisperer, the story of Philip Galt, who skirts the thin edges of danger, living his dual role. Philip Galt, known to the syndicate of crime only as the Whisperer, has set in motion the syndicate's plan to kill Lieutenant Charles Danvers of Central City. But now, in his real identity as Philip Galt, counselor at law, he is trying desperately to stop Neely, the syndicate's hired killer, from carrying out the skillfully planned murder. The killer has forced Danvers into his own car at gunpoint, and now Phil and Ellen follow in Phil's car, desperately trying to pick up the trail so they may prevent the lieutenant's murder.
How do we know they went this way?
We don't, but it's logical to suppose Neely's forcing Demers to drive to the outskirts of town so he can kill him in private.
And this is the quickest way out of town.
Right.
And if we're wrong, oh, Phil, if only you hadn't passed the syndicate's orders on to this Neely character.
Then someone else would have.
Yes, and... I know. And they wouldn't have tried to stop the murder from happening like we are. But if we don't find Denver's car...
I'll never forgive myself.
Phil.
What is it?
Straight ahead at that corner. Isn't it?
It looks like Denver's car, all right. Hang on, sweetheart. We're
the
going
The light's
to...
changing, Phil.
Then we'll just have to... Oh, we can't. Too many cars stop ahead of us. We'll have to wait.
Oh, Phil.
We'll catch up, I hope.
If only there were some way to get the police to... Phil.
What?
Your telephone. You can call the police.
Oh, why didn't I think of that?
Because you're too busy berating yourself for getting Lieutenant Denvers in this predicament in the first place.
Light's changing, Ellen. I gotta concentrate on my driving. You better call.
What do I do?
Just pick up the phone and ask the operator for police headquarters. Press down the button to talk, release it to listen. Now give the operator that number on the windshield.
Operator, this is JL22469. Police headquarters, please. And hurry. Well, I tell them.
Exactly what's happening and where we are.
Hello? This is Miss Ellen Norris, calling from an automobile driving north on State Boulevard. Lieutenant Denver's life is in danger. Yes, a car. We're following Lieutenant Denver's car.
Tell him to get off the dime.
He's being forced to drive out of town by a man with a gun. Well, he won't shut up.
Press the button. Cut him off.
Oh. Now, you listen to me. We're in a gray two-door sedan. License number 4A3216. You know Lieutenant Denver's car, don't you?
Tell him we're just crossing Cedar Street now, still traveling north.
We're still on State Boulevard, traveling north. And we've just crossed Cedar Street. Yes, yes, please, hurry. They're putting out the message to all squad cars in this area. We ought to have help in no time.
Not too many cars in this part of town. It's only partly built up.
Oh, Phil, we're practically out of the city already. What do we do if the police don't get here in time?
I don't know, Ellen.
Darn this syndicate with its killings all the time. And us getting mixed up in it. No more streetlights. And we're the only two cars on the road as far as I can see.
I just hope Neely doesn't see. He'll know we're following. And with that gun, he could make life difficult for us.
Anyway, we won't lose them out here.
They're turning off on a side road. Chances are he'll spot us for sure now.
Maybe. Maybe he won't shoot Denver when he finds out we're following. Careful, Phil! Oh, move. He came off a course to the edge of that canyon.
He'll probably make Denver stop and walk off the road a ways before he shoots him. When he try to interfere, he'll just use two more bullets.
Phil, they're speeding up.
They must have spotted us. He can't know we're following on purpose yet. Probably just wants to lose us. Ellen, get on that phone again. Squad cars won't know where we turned off. They'll keep going north on the main highway and miss us completely.
Hello, operator. Operator!
That car of Denver's is souped up to go a lot faster than mine. I better try to head him off while I still got a chance.
Darn that, operator. Hello. Operator. Operator! How can you stop them, Phil?
Force them off the road, maybe. It's a chance, but if they get away from us now...
Operator!
They only have one operator on the car service now. Sometimes they get tied up on long distance.
Oh, fine. Operator, operator!
No use shouting into the phone, Ellen. She won't cut your line in until she's free.
What do I do? Just sit and wait while Denver's car gets lost?
Nothing else you can do. But I don't think they're going to lose us. Neely doesn't know Denver's car is souped up, and there's no reason Denver should drive to his own murder any faster than necessary.
We are gaining on them, Phil.
Better get down, Ellen. Down underneath the dashboard on your side there.
Why?
It's safer. Try to relax so it won't jar you too much when we hit.
Hit what?
Denver's car. I'm going to force them off the road. Now get down.
Okay, okay. Now what?
Just relax.
Relax, he said.
We're just about next to him now. Neely hasn't got any idea what's coming. Thinks we're trying to pass him. Hang on, sweetheart. Now relax. Relax. Are you all right, darling?
Oh, I guess so. My dignity's kind of bruised. Can I get up now?
You better stay where you are. Denver's car took a worse jostling than this one, but Neely may still be in a shooting condition. I'm going out to see what happened.
Be careful, Phil.
Hold it. Stay where you are. Don't make a move.
Denver's. Is that you?
Oh, God. I thought so.
Oh. Hey, what happened to the other fella?
Got banged around a bit when you ran into it. He's still asleep.
Oh. Pretty tight squeeze, huh?
It would have been a lot tighter if you hadn't come along for the ride. Guess I ought to thank you, huh? You probably saved my life.
Don't make too much of an effort. How did you know it was me following you?
I got a look at you as I drove out of the restaurant parking lot with Neely's gun in my rib. From the look on your face, I figured you knew what was happening.
Where's his gun now?
This is it. If he happens to come too suddenly, he won't be so dangerous with his fangs removed.
Phil, I'm getting awfully cramped up in here.
Huh? Oh, sorry, sweetheart. Come on out.
Oh, you would have gone on chatting with Lieutenant Denver's all night if I hadn't opened my mouth.
Well, I guess my car's still dry. I'll take that hood back to headquarters.
Right. We'll follow.
Here comes the car. Maybe the police.
Down behind the car. They're shooting at us.
What now? That car's pulling off the road.
Well, as soon as he gets out of that car, he's going to get a blast. I'll ask questions later.
He won't be able to hit us as long as we stay down.
He got out of his car on the far side. Probably going to try to come around the end of his car and nail us. I better teach him some manners.
I better keep him on his side of the road. Better keep down, Devers. He's pretty impatient for a target.
Yeah, this looks like a standoff. Somebody hears those shots and calls headquarters. What in blazes is that?
My telephone.
Your what? Out here in the middle of nowhere? Has he gone off his trolley, Ellen?
He has a telephone in his car, Lieutenant.
Oh. Where are you going, Gold?
Gonna crawl back to my car and answer the phone. Maybe the police trying to get to us. Find out where we are.
Wait a second. There's 10 feet of open space between our cars. You'll be a perfect target for that guy across the road.
Yeah, you can.
I gotta chance it. I'll make like a snake crawl on my belly. Now cover me with your gun, Lieutenant.
All right, but be careful.
Can you see the man across the road? Can you tell if he can see Phil?
No, he's hidden behind his car. But if he sticks his nose out to get a shot at Phil... There. Stuck his nose out and I missed him. Well, I got him behind his car anyway.
Well, Phil got to his car safely. Oh, he's answered the phone. Lieutenant, look out!
You... Oh, thanks, Ellen. Oh,
Neely, he was about to smash that rock on your head.
Yeah, well, Neely won't be trying to smash any more people's skulls in.
Dead?
Yeah. Well, I shot good once this evening anyway.
The other one's driving off, Lieutenant.
Come on, in your car, Lieutenant, after him.
He's got quite a head start.
Well, we'll catch him in this. We'll do 110.
What was that phone call, Phil?
Police calling back. Their squad cars couldn't find us. I told them to set up a roadblock at the intersection of this road with the main highway, just in case.
You think they had time?
We'll know soon enough. The rate we're going, we ought to...
There, straight ahead of them. Two squad cars across the road with their headlights blazing.
He won't be able to stop in time, Phil. He'll...
Turning off the road.
Lieutenant.
He went over.
That's a 300-foot drop.
Oh. You think he...
Houdini couldn't live through that.
We better get down there. Have a look.
No. I'll have some of the boys take care of it. I'll drive you back to your car and get back to the restaurant. My wife will be wondering what happened to me.
Well, let's all get back. Our food's still waiting. Not that I have any appetite left after what happened tonight. Very thoughtful of that head waiter, keeping our orders on the stove.
No appetite, she says.
Yeah, a real persistent guy, Gord. You got me to have dinner with you after all.
Mm-hmm. But I'm sorry your wife didn't wait for us.
She's used to me running out on one sort of urgent business or another.
I hope it isn't always as urgent as this was.
Lieutenant, what about that man who crashed at the bottom of the canyon in his car? Any identification on him?
No, the car was rented. You drive place, never saw him before. He sent his fingerprints on to Washington. Yeah, probably another one of the syndicate's hired killers from out of town.
Syndicate? You think they were behind this attempt to kill you?
Well, it's a logical thought. I've been getting in their hair lately.
Yes, it does sound logical.
Mm-hmm. Of course, you wouldn't know anything about it.
Me? How would I?
Well, what was it you wanted to see me about, Gork?
Nothing. I told you, just a friendly dinner together.
I see. Well, after tonight, I guess I ought to leave it your way, huh?
Thanks. Pardon me, I'll be right back.
Where now?
Just got to make a telephone call.
Look out for guys with guns waiting for you.
I will, Lieutenant. And while I'm gone, keep an eye on my potato pancakes. That girl sitting next to you knows no loyalties when it comes to food.
The Whisperer is based upon stories and characters created by Stetson Humphrey. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. Carlton Young is starred as the Whisperer. Betty Moran is Ellen. Others in the cast were Paul Frees and Paul DuBose. Don Rickles speaking. The Whisperer was written by Jonathan Twice, produced and directed by Bill Karn. Original music by Johnny Duffy. Next week, listen to another exciting adventure with... As a result of the disastrous floods in Kansas, Missouri, Oklahoma, and Illinois, the President of the United States has asked the American people to contribute $5 million through their local chapters of the American Red Cross for the relief of flood victims. Over 45,000 families have been affected by the floods, and an estimated 12,000 of these will register with the Red Cross for assistance. Emergency needs are overwhelming, but immediate aid to the victims, food, shelter, clothing, and medical care is only a part in caring for those whose lives have been disrupted by the disaster. Give and give generously. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
I met a justice of the peace in Wyoming Territory and saw two kinds of justice done.
Frontier Gentlemen. Herewith, an Englishman's account of life and death in the West. As a reporter for the London Times, he writes his purple and unusual stories. But as a man with a gun, he lives and becomes a part of the violent years in the new territories. Now, starring John Daner, this is the story of J.B. Kendall, Frontier Gentleman.
In the South Pass district of Wyoming Territory, there is a mining settlement called Dry Creek. Carrie Chase, editor of the Cheyenne Daily Press, had mentioned the fact that a new justice of the peace had been appointed to Dry Creek. This in itself was not particularly newsworthy, except for the fact that the JP was a woman, Mrs. Amy Robinson, and as far as we could determine, one of the first of her sex to hold such an office in the United States. 300 the West, and a few days later found me in Dry Creek. I had expected to see the usual rip-roaring mining community and was surprised to find instead an atmosphere of complete contrast. There was an oppressive quiet to the place. Small groups of men stood here and there, talking in low tones, pausing as I walked by to stare at me suspiciously. Outside the assayer's office, I saw two miners coming out and stopped to ask them directions.
You're a stranger around here, ain't you?
Yes.
And how come you want to talk with the Justice of the Peace?
Well, I should think that's a matter between the lady and myself.
Are you a friend of Mrs. Robinson?
No.
Are you a lawyer, fella?
No.
She's down the street there, runs the general store.
Thank you.
You see, we don't like strangers asking questions around here.
So I gathered. Good afternoon.
Hey, you tell Mrs. Robinson we ain't changed our minds neither. That red dog, he's going to get a stiff rope and a short drop no matter what she says.
Hello? Anybody here?
Come in. Well, something I can get you.
You are Mrs. Amy Robinson?
The same.
My name is J.B. Kendall. I'm a newspaper correspondent for the London Times.
Now, what in the name of sin's a London Times correspondent doing in Dry Creek?
You're the reason, Mrs. Robinson. I think a great many women in England would be interested in reading about a female justice of the peace.
You being flippity?
No, not at all. I'm quite serious.
Well, you got to excuse me. There's a lot of folks hereabouts ain't taking my appointment to heart.
I think perhaps I met one of them on my way here.
Oh, who?
Oh, a miner. He suggested that I tell you that they haven't changed their minds. I get the feeling that there's some discussion about a hanging.
Your feeling's correct, mister. Sheriff Godey's got the accused locked up and waiting for trial. Jack Red Dog's a fella, Arapaho Indian. There's them says he done murder. Killed Big Nose George Haney's brother, Ike. That's what they say.
I see. Well, when does the trial take place?
As soon as I can get a jury to sit. There ain't no man in Dry Creek will do it.
You can't get a jury, huh?
Well, come on in the back. I was just making some coffee. Mm-hmm. Here, take a chair, Mr. Kendall. You see, before all this happened, I was Widow Robinson who ran the general store. Folks was decent and nice to me. Then I get appointed Justice of the Peace, and it's like I got the epistudic. Just because I'm a woman is... Oh? Well, I tell you something. This here Jack Red Dog case is my first, and I aim to see fair trial done, whether they like it or not.
Oh, thank you. What about the talk of hanging?
Well, that's Big Nose George and Tip Butler. They're trying to get the fellas riled up to take the engine out and string him up without a trial.
From the looks of the men as I came into town, they seem to be making some headway.
Well, they ain't gonna do it. I swore to uphold the peace and justice in the community and fight...
Amy, you there?
Oh, is that you, Sheriff?
Yeah.
Well, come on back.
Now, you had better come out yourself.
Oh. Oh, this fella's name is Kendall. Come to do some writing about me. Mr. Kendall, meet Harry Godey, Sheriff of Dry Creek.
Harry Kendall.
How do you do?
Yeah, things ain't getting on so good, Amy. I've been thinking it might be better if I take Red Dog over to Rock Springs till we get this thing settled.
You're doing no such thing, Harry Godey.
Now, listen to me, Amy. Big Nose George ain't fooling. He's fixing to take that Indian out and hang him.
How do you know that?
Well, he wants me to join up with him and the other boys to do it.
What did you tell him, Sheriff?
No, Amy, no sense going on the prod. I'm just telling you what they aim to do. I ain't courting trouble. That's why I'm saying I want to get Jack Red Dog out of here.
And have him tried somewhere else? Show that I can't run a trial in my own town? That nobody ain't got no respect for a justice of the peace in Dry Creek because she's a woman? Oh, no, sir, no, sir, Harry Godey. I'm telling you, I'm ordering you as sheriff. Protect that engine till it's time to call the trial.
I'll do my best. You know that, Amy, but there's going to be trouble.
Well, then get yourself a couple of deputies.
Can't. Ain't having none of it.
Well, what about Dollar Bill Orpin?
He's up in the hills.
So it's the whole town, huh?
I told you, Amy. I told you they wouldn't stand for a woman judge. You didn't believe me.
And I told you a woman's got as much right as a man.
Not in a man's work, Shane, Amy.
What do you want, Big Nose?
We're a committee. We come here to tell you...
Tell me what?
That engine's guilty. We already tried...
Not legal, you didn't.
We found him guilty, didn't we, boys?
Now, we ain't got nothing against you, Ed.
Right now, I'm declaring courts in session, boys. The name's Judge Robinson. Now, go ahead and say your piece, but I'll remind you about contempt.
Yeah, all right, Judge. Your Honor... We just saved you the trouble of holding a trial.
What do you mean?
Well, now, Tip's saying that that engine Red Dog shot my brother, and we're going to use him to trim a tree.
That's lynching. Begin the law, Big Nose.
Now, keep out of this, will you, Godey? Ain't nothing you can do about it. It's you and her again, all of us.
And me.
Who are you?
Kendall, Deputy Sheriff.
Since when? Listen, this fella just waltzed into town and asked the way to Amy's.
That's contempt, Tip Butler. It's Judge Robinson. $10 or 2 days in the hoosgow.
Oh, come on, Amy. Ain't no use.
$20 or 5 days.
This fella ain't no deputy.
Sure he is. Goody just swore him in, didn't you, Sheriff?
I sure did.
$20 or 5 days, Butler. Which is it?
Well, which is it to be, Butler?
Now, that'll cost you another 10. Pick up that money and hand it over.
You make me, Amy Robinson. You go ahead.
Anybody's got ideas of starting something over this? Just remember, there's only two of you, Sheriff. Now, I wouldn't want Miss Amy here to get hurt. So, supposing you all just stay in here till we finish what we got to do with that there engine killer. All right, come on, boys.
Godey, you've got to stop them.
Well, they got a right to go on down the jailhouse if they've a mind to.
They'll get Jack Red Dog.
No, they won't. I took them out before I come here. Hit them. Oh, I want to thank you, mister, for standing by us. Of course, you ain't made many friends doing it.
Oh, I didn't expect to. What's going to happen when they find the Indians gone?
Oh, they'll come looking for me. Now, Amy, you've seen how things are. I'll be taking Red Dog to Rock Springs.
Oh, no. There ain't no pack of cussed hardtails going to stampede me.
And at this point, I'm inclined to agree with the sheriff. We can't fight the whole town.
You both sell me out, huh? Because I'm a woman. You won't stand up against them.
Oh, it ain't that at all.
What then? I took my oath to uphold what's right. You did the same, Harry Godey.
And I'll do it, too. But this ain't the way. The engine's as good as dead if he stays in town. No sense whittle-wanging, Amy. My job's to protect Red Dog till he comes to trial. I'm going to do just that. Kendall, you want to be a deputy? No fooling?
If you need me.
Oh, I need you. You're sworn as of right now. Got a horse?
No, I came in on the stage.
We'll get you one. Amy.
Yeah?
As soon as I get the engine to Rock Springs, I'll be back. Let's go, Kendall.
All right.
Stables just across the road. Better keep your eyes skinned. You know how to use that blue lightning you're carrying?
I've used a gun before.
Yeah, sure hope you don't have to today. A lot of them fellas is my friends in better times.
Where's the Indian?
Get out in the stable.
You think he's still there?
Well, if he ain't, he's taking a mighty big wagon with him. I handcuffed him to a wheel. I figure by now old Big Nose George is busting his gut down to the jailhouse. We'll have to plumb light a shuck out of here. Hey, Jack.
Yes?
Well, Injun, you don't know how close you are to catching the rope crook. Oh, we'll take them two horses already saddled, Kendall. Jack will ride with me.
Right.
Goody.
Easy, boy.
You're not going to let them hang Red Dog. I know kill I can't.
Come on,
we'll get you over to Rock Springs. If you're going to hang, you'll hang legal, that's for sure.
Which one do you want me to ride, Sheriff?
Take the roan. He's a salty devil, but if you can handle him, he's a lot of horse. All right, now, let's lead him out.
That's just fine, Goody. Now, you boys, stop right there, unless you want us to start throwing lead. Well, sir, I guess you figured you was right smart, didn't you, Sheriff?
This engine's in my custody, boys. I'm warning you.
Yeah, don't you worry none about that, Goody. We'll take care of him and that engine, boy. He's going to be the guest of honor's drink party. Ain't you, Red Dog?
In a moment, we return to Frontier Gentlemen. Some people believe only in what they want to believe. The vast majority of us, however, are prepared to examine the facts. Now, that, in a nutshell, explains the widespread popularity CBS newsman Alan Jackson enjoys. 6 days a week, get the story as it happens, as most of these CBS radio stations present Alan Jackson and the news. And now we return you to the Anthony Ellis production of Frontier Gentlemen.
We stood near the door of the stable, Sheriff Godey, Jack Red Dog, and myself. The Indian's face was bathed in a shaft of dust-speckled sunlight. I noticed a scar running from the bridge of his nose across his cheek. His eyes were very dark, frightened. A dozen or more men crowded into the entrance, two or three carrying rifles, the others drawn guns. Big Nose George Haney and Tip Butler took our gun belts away from us.
You can't do it, boys.
Want to bet on a Goody?
Why not give the man a trial? He's guilty. He deserves.
He's guilty right enough, ain't no doubt.
Couple of you boys help me get a rope over that beam.
It'll be murder, Tip.
Oh, can't murder an Indian, Sheriff. They just plain dying which way. Nobody's accountable killing an Indian.
Are you afraid to give him a trial?
I told you, mister, we done it. Not legal, you didn't. Not legal. That's how. Come, we got a justice of the peace.
Woman justice, you know better than that, Goody.
I ain't a shouting for suffrage, but she was appointed.
Now, boss, you aren't. Man-law's good enough for me.
Mr. Big Nose, I don't kill your brother. I was asleep that night with Red Eye, much whiskey. You ask Tip Butler.
I'd be asking the wrong feller, because he's the one seen you do it.
That's fact.
Ike Haney and Red Dog friends. Red Dog didn't have need for killing.
He was drunk, Jack. He shot him in the back. Let's get it over with, boys.
Bring him over.
No, no, they're my son, my woman. Who cared for them?
Give him a chance.
Maybe Butler was mistaken.
Sure, it was dark, Tip. Might have been another Indian, somebody else.
I seen him with my own eyes, I'm telling you.
Well, if you saw him, why didn't you catch him then? Instead of waiting until morning, you and Big Nose sending me over to arrest him.
Like you say, it was dark. Couldn't catch him. Tie his hands back of him, Tommy.
All right, I give you my claim. Much gold in it. All yours. You let me go.
Injun, if you gotta die, die like a man. This ain't no time to crawl.
Well, give you a chance, sir. Pray. Got an Indian prayer in you? How many white men you kill without they get a chance for prayer, huh?
I kill no man.
Except for my brother. That's enough for the hang. All right, help me get him up on a horse.
You can't. It's tension, and we're finished with that. Listen to me.
No, no, hang. No, no, no.
Take your hands off him.
Put away the scatter gun, Amy. This ain't no concern of yourn. What's got to be done has got to be.
Sheriff, take your prisoner down off that horse. Walk him up to the jailhouse.
Get her!
Oh.
Oh. Take your hands off. Stay right where you are, Miss.
All right, now get on with it.
Wait. Wait now. If you do this thing, every one of you will be as guilty as you think the Indian is.
I feel no guilt, mister. My brother's got his lamp blowed out, but this here Arapaho, I ain't feel no guilt.
Then why not let the law decide? You're the law, all of you. Give him the right to defend himself. Form your jury. Prosecute him. But not this way.
He's right. Listen to him.
He's wrong. Dead wrong. He ain't even American, that fancy talking all. You shut your mouth, mister, or you go with the Indian.
So long, Jack. If you see my brother, you tell him hello.
Me,
no,
huh?
No, no!
They didn't look at Jack Red Dog when they finally cut him down. As they tried not to. Nor could they look at each other. One spoke of getting a drink, and the others agreed that a man could work up quite a thirst at a lynching. The shaft of sunlight fell on the dead man's frayed moccasins.
I sure hope he was guilty.
Would that make it better?
He spoke of a wife and child.
Yeah. They live up behind the Black Canyon diggings.
I'm thinking, it's my fault. All of this.
It ain't your fault, Amy.
Maybe it happened because a woman was made justice of the peace. They was forced to do what they did. If it'd been a man, maybe they'd have listened to him. They don't want to hear a woman's words. Not in a man's world.
You did what you could. It wouldn't have made any difference. They were bound to hang him. Mostly, I think, because he was an Indian.
There, I'll take him up to his wife. Better tie him on the horse.
No. I'll bring my wagon. Put him in that. He rode his last horse.
Now, we will help you hitch it up.
Hey, Goldie!
Oh, that's Dollar Bill Orphan.
Howdy. Hey, I hear him and Jack Red Dog's in the hoose down for shooting I can't eat, that's so?
Not anymore, it ain't Dollar Bill. He's in there. He just had us a necktie party.
Hey, now, that ain't so good. How come? Thought you was justice of the peace, Mrs. Robinson.
I thought so, too.
Well, he sure hadn't ought to done that. Arapaho Jack, he didn't kill nobody.
What do you mean?
It ain't just that, stranger. Night A. Caney was killed, Jack Red Dog come around to my diggings looking for whiskey. He was sure high lonesome. I told him, I said, Jack, you don't need no more bug juice. You better go lie down, Summers, before you slip and fall in the canyon, break your fool neck. Well, man, he was so drunk he fell down three times going down the hill to his wiki up, dropped his gun. Hey, I got it right here. So if he shot Ike, he did it with somebody else's thumbbuster.
He was telling the truth. He said he was asleep, drunk when it happened.
Yeah, and Tip says he saw him shoot. Funny how certain he was about that.
Sheriff, You swear in dollar bill right now as deputy.
You're sworn, Bill.
I swear. Gonna have some fun?
We're going down to the saloon.
Hey, let me tie up my mule. I'll be right along.
All right, boys. There'll be no more drinking. Court's in session.
Oh, go on home, Amy. We don't
One
want
to... One more word out of you, Big Nose, and I'll have you arrested.
Your Honor, may I speak for the court?
Yes, sir. You go ahead.
This court is going to investigate two murders. One, the shooting of Ike Haney by persons unknown. And two, the strangulation of Jack Red Dog committed by those present.
He's loco. Set up another round of drinks.
Sheriff, arrest that man for contempt.
Tip Butler, you make a move and I'll blow your head off.
Now go on, Mr. Kendall.
We have a witness to the fact that the Indian Jack Red Dog may have been telling the truth when he said that he was asleep at the time of Haney's murder.
You're lying.
No, he ain't. I seen him that night. He was so drunk he couldn't have plugged nothing. Besides, he didn't have no gun.
I sure he did. I seen him.
You saw him shoot?
Yeah, I saw.
How many times did he fire?
Three, four.
It was dark?
Dark.
And you were close enough to recognize Jack Red Dog?
Yeah, I was close enough.
What did he do with his gun after he shot Haney?
He threw it away. No. Oh, no, he put it back in his belt.
Which?
Listen, mister, I don't have to answer no fancy law wrangler questions.
Yes, you do. You're a witness in this trial.
Answer the questions, Tip.
Did he throw away the gun?
No.
Sheriff, when you arrested Red Dog, did he have a gun?
Nope. Of course he didn't. He dropped it up to my diggings the night Haney was bushwhacked. I got it right here.
How come you had time to see Red Dog shoot Ike three times, put the gun back in his belt and not do nothing about it, Tip?
I told you it was dark. I couldn't catch him.
But it wasn't too dark to see him.
That's right.
How close were you?
I don't know. A few feet, I guess.
How come you didn't start shooting yourself, Tip?
I never got the chance, Big Nose.
What was you doing? Just watching?
No.
How come you was up there anyway, snooping around Ike's diggings that night?
Well, Ike and me was going partners. We was going to talk about it.
Ike never said nothing to me about another partner.
He was going to.
Is that why you shot him? Because he wouldn't take Quinn?
It wasn't me. It was that engine. Ike and me was talking, and Red Dog sneaks up and shoots Ike.
You told me you never got a chance to talk to Ike. When you got to him, he was already laid out dead.
Well, I mean that.
What you mean is that you bushwhacked Ike. Your own self.
Put away your gun, Haney.
My brother. You did it, Tip.
No,
Haney.
Don't.
I'm sorry I missed. I should have killed you, Haney.
Sheriff, take Tip over to the jailhouse and hold him for murder.
I didn't attend the trial of Tip Butler for the murder of Haney's brother. The jury that lynched Jack Red Dog found Butler guilty. Justice of the peace, Amy Robinson, pronounced sentence. And I heard a few days ago, the man was hanged.
Frontier Gentlemen was written, produced, and directed by Anthony Ellis and stars John Daner as J.B. Kendall. Featured in the cast were Paula Winslow, Jack Moyles, Lou Krugman, Jack Crucian, and Tom Holland. Congratulations to CBS radio affiliate WVAM Altoona, Pennsylvania, observing its 10th anniversary this month. Join us again next week for another report from the Frontier Gentlemen. Bud Sewell speaking.
That's the Relic Radio Show for this week. Hope you enjoyed it. You can find more from The Whisperer, Frontier Gentlemen, past episodes of this show, and all the other Relic Radio podcasts at RelicRadio.com. Our Shoutcast stream is up and running there as well. And remember, if you'd like to help support this and all of the shows, help keep it all coming to you every week for free, give that donate button a click or visit donate.RelicRadio.com and help out if you can. Thanks as always to those who have, and thanks for joining me today. Be back next Tuesday with another episode of The Relic Radio Show.